Yes. On these? You read too fast. Sure. I think it comes from practice, doesn't it? So I'd rather have you practice in your Bible than practice in this. Yes, Brett? Dave, call. I think we have enough. If we run out, I'll have somebody run over and make more copies. If you want to get started, we're going to be looking at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, if you want to find that reference, that'll be our first reference. Hey, Keith, I thought I knew how to turn this on. Okay, so as we get started, you'll need the sheet, and you'll also need your Bible. And let's begin our devotion, our study with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we begin our study of your holy word, send your Holy Spirit to reveal to us that you have done all for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Increase our faith in you, that we work with perseverance to follow your Son, our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. So why should we be interested in a video that's entitled Come Follow Me? What is it all about? What's another word for following Jesus? What? I can't hear, sorry.
Being a disciple?
Discipleship, yes. Discipleship is following Jesus, right? And that's what we are. And the video, Come Follow Me, is all about what it means. What is following all about? Come Follow Me is a movie that depicts what is meant, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Now, the Bible passage that I thought would be very good for us to look at is Matthew 28, 16 to 20. We're going to see that reference in the video today. If someone would be willing to read Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, please. Do we have a volunteer? Thank you. Would you pass the mic back, please?
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
What are the three commands? What are the three things that we are to do? as his disciples. Go.
Make
and then
disciples.
What? Baptize. Go and teach. And wait, there's a third one too. We skipped right over it. Go and
make disciples.
Make disciples, right? And how do you make disciples? You do it by baptizing and by teaching. And what we started off by saying was that a disciple is a follower, right? So if we're going to make disciples, then our job is to make followers. And how do you make followers? By leading, right? And how do you lead? We lead by following Jesus. So it's like the big train that we see walking around during Vacation Bible School, where you've got the the leader in front, and then you've got about 25 kids following behind. They're leading them from one place to another, where they continue learning about Jesus in different places. That's what your life is to be as well. You are to follow Jesus and take other people along with you. So the name of our video, Come Follow Me, is very important. Where in Scripture does it talk about following Jesus? I am not going to challenge you with that, but this is a great way to find out. I looked at on my concordance on the phone today. Any guess as to how many times in the Gospels it talks about following Jesus? In the four Gospels, more than 20 times, Jesus gives the command to his disciples to follow. And that's really, so in other words, what is he saying to you? If he said it to his disciples, he's saying to you, follow me. We spent a lot of time in the past few weeks, probably since the beginning of May, when we started thinking about what does it mean to have a mission as a congregation. Do you know what our mission is as a congregation? Three things. What's the first one? Glorify God. Second? Grow in his grace. We study his word. We're doing it right now. And what's the third one that sometimes we forget about? That's the one we're reading. Go. Go with the gospel. We have to go to other people and share the gospel with them. And where are we going to lead them? Right back here. Come and see. As you read about these different, you're going to keep hearing about how one disciple leads another disciple. Think about the first two disciples, the brothers. I think it was Andrew that led his brother. Come and see. He wasn't so sure. And then Philip said the same thing to Nathaniel. We do that same thing. And as I said before, it's not just that we do it in our community. Where else is it very important for us to do that? In our homes, in here. We help each other to follow Jesus. So we're doing evangelism as we're talking about it right now. We're doing evangelism when we teach our little children. We're doing evangelism when we help out at Vacation Bible School. So all of this is very, very important. And it's mainly important because it's going back to the words of God. And so as we read through the video, make sure that you are able to recognize in the video the direct references to God's word. There are many, many in there. However, they aren't quoted for you. So I think we're ready to see the video, Come Follow Me. This is a video that was produced by people who are Wisconsin Synod Lutheran. I know the executive producer, his name is David Kale. There are others and I on the video. By the way, this is what it looks like. There's many of them back there. Feel free to take one and give it to your friend when we get done. But you'll see some of the names on here, pastors that you may know. However, it's really not produced by the Wells, but it's certainly endorsed by the Wells. Okay, Keith, we're ready to go.
Fishing was my life. Until the day he called me to follow him. Our journey revealed how great he is. He taught and did wonders like no one else. I left everything behind to go his way. And he gave me a new life. His life. The truth is for all to hear. Going to wash my feet, Lord, ever.
Peter, if I don't wash you, you won't belong to me.
Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord. Not just my feet.
I need only wash your feet. You are washed, completely clean. Call me teacher and Lord. That is what I am. Follow my example by showing the same love I have shown you. Then the world will know that you are my followers. I look forward to sharing this Passover meal with you before I face my suffering. I will not eat it again with you until its meaning is fulfilled in my Father's kingdom.
He thinks he's the Son of God, King of the Jews,
the Messiah.
What he says is blasphemy.
This is my body, given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. Drink from this, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Thank you. Judas. Tonight is the night. Judas go.
My friends, the time has come for God to show his glory by what I am about to do, but I must do it alone. You can't come along now, but you will follow later.
What are you gonna do? Why can't I follow you now, Lord? I'm ready to go to prison for you. Even to die for you.
You say you will die for me, Peter. I tell you before the rooster crows twice at dawn, you will deny three times that you even know me. In fact, all of you will run away because of me, scattering like sheep without a shepherd.
No, Lord, never. Even if everyone else falls away, I will never disown you.
Satan wants to sift all of you like wheat. Peter, I have prayed that your faith will not fail, so that you will be able to strengthen the others. Don't be troubled by all this. You trust in God, trust also in me. Soon I will leave to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And when it is the right time, I will come back in all my glory and take you to be with me where I am.
No, Lord. You can't leave us, not now. What will we do without you?
My friends, I'm not leaving you like orphans. My Father and I will send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He will remind you of what I have said and lead you to understand what I have done. I will leave you with a peace that this world cannot give. But now, the ruler of darkness approaches. Don't be troubled by what will happen. I will overcome him. Come. Follow me to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray.
Jesus would even think that we would abandon him. Scattered like sheep? Deny the shepherd who cares for us? Doesn't he realize that he can depend on us?
Why would he say we would run away? He's the promised Messiah we've all been waiting for.
He has to be. No one could do the things we've seen Jesus do in the 3 years we've been following him.
How many has he healed? How many demons has he driven out?
Even power over death. Nobody else has that kind of power.
The high priests and teachers of the Jewish law continue to reject him. Why?
Because of their power, their traditions, what people think of them. Those things are more important to them than the truth.
But Jesus speaks with the authority of God.
They don't want to hear it.
I'm afraid they will try to find a way to get rid of Jesus.
it comes to a fight, John, I'm ready to fight for him. I'm even ready to die for him.
Take this cup away from me. Yet, if the only way to save the world from sin is for me to suffer, let not my will, but yours be done. Let me bring you glory by completing the work you planned for me. Couldn't you stay awake with me for just 1 hour?
Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation, for your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the powers of darkness. That if I wanted to, I could have called down thousands upon thousands of angels to rescue me. But how then will I accomplish the will of my Heavenly Father and drink the cup of suffering He has planned for me? This is what I came for. And what is this? You are coming with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal or leading a rebellion. You did nothing when I taught in the temple. All this just confirms what the prophets wrote. So take me. I'm the one you want. Let these men go.
What have I done?
I'm afraid what they'll do to him. Or us.
I, c-
can't allow this to happen to him. They must be taking him to the high priest's house.
I think they can get us into his courtyard.
Well, come on then. Let's go.
Just make sure you stay in the shadows.
Jesus. He's in there.
Did they get any of his followers?
Not yet. They all ran away like scared little children.
You are one of his disciples, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
He was. He was one of those with this Jesus.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
This man, he was one of them. He was with Jesus.
No, I'm not. Jesus? I don't know him.
Yes, you were with him. You're a Galilean. You talk just like his followers. Your accent gives you away.
May God curse me if I know him. I swear, I don't know this man you're talking about.
You say you will die for me, Peter. I tell you before the rooster crows twice at dawn, you will deny three times that you even know me.
I was sure Jesus would be the Messiah. The king who would lead a new era of glory. Now that hope seems lost. Hanging on a cross. Dying shamefully. Punished like a criminal. After he died, his body was placed in the tomb, leaving us all feeling hopeless and afraid. Mercy on me, Lord. I have sinned against you and done evil in your sight.
Peter.
John, they killed him. Led him away like an innocent lamb to the slaughter. I thought I could save him. But look at me. I'm the one who needs saving. I'm weak. I'm a coward, a failure. I ran. I lied. Pretended I didn't even know him to save myself.
We all let him down that night. We all ran.
But I'm the one who vowed I would never disown him. How can I face God's anger over what I've done? How could he ever forgive me?
But he loved us, didn't he? He said so again and again.
What good does that do us if he's dead?
just come from the tomb. Jesus' tomb. The stone was rolled away. It was empty. The tomb is empty.
Peter, can you believe it? He was dead, and now he's alive.
Risen from the dead.
We can follow him again.
Follow him? What kind of follower was I? I turned my back on Jesus to save myself. I didn't leave behind my selfish pride, my anger, my fears. I crumbled, fell apart.
But the angel said he would meet us in Galilee, Peter. He wants to see you.
Why me, though? Why me? I don't know why he would want to see me. I'm not good enough for him. I failed.
Peter, when we were hiding in fear behind closed doors, Jesus appeared to us. He said, be at peace. He's not holding our sins against us. He's forgiven them.
So I don't have to be afraid to see him again?
No, you don't.
That's what I needed to hear. Let's go home and do some fishing while we wait for him.
Peter, look, it's the Lord!
Jesus, we were on the boat fishing. Didn't catch a fish all night. Then someone on the shore told us to throw our nets on the other side of the boat and...
I counted! We caught 153 fish!
I couldn't believe all the fish. It was hard to pull the nets in. I should have known it was you. Lord, I'm so sorry I let you down. I don't deserve to be sitting here with you. How can you accept me back after all I've done?
Peter, remember the story I told you about the selfish son who demanded his inheritance, left home, and wasted all of it on wild living?
Of course. I acted like that son, didn't I?
When the son came back, humbled, repentant, what did the father do? Turn him away? Make him pay it all back? Punish him?
No. The wayward son found a loving and compassionate father.
He embraced his son. He welcomed him home, didn't he? He was full of joy. He had a feast and celebrated. For his son had returned.
But how could the father be so happy and accept his son after all he'd done?
That's the whole point. This is what makes heaven rejoice. Sinners who repent and turn back to the waiting arms of their heavenly Father.
I am sorry, Jesus. What do I have to do?
God's acceptance isn't about you or about what you must do. It is always about what I have done for you. I obeyed my Father's will in your place. I laid down my life to take the punishment for your sins. My blood shed on the cross washes you clean.
My Savior, you are the Passover Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. How can I ever thank you enough?
Peter, do you love me?
Well, you know everything. You can search what is in my heart. You know that I love you.
Then feed my sheep. Now follow me.
Satan knows my weaknesses. My selfish pride, my fears, my doubts. What if he tries to bring me down again?
Peter, don't be afraid. You're not alone in the struggle. I will be by your side. Nothing can separate you from my love. Not the troubles and dangers in life, not even demons or the powers of hell itself. I won the victory against the Prince of Darkness. You will have the power to overcome him. But not with swords, or by your own strength, but by the power of my word. The message of the forgiveness of sins that you tell others will draw many people back to God, turning them from doubt to faith, from death to life, to a living hope because of my resurrection from the dead. In the end, I will bring all who believe in me to my glory in heaven. I will gather people from the east and the west, from the north and the south, to take their places with Abraham at the celebration feast of the Lamb, to dwell with God forever.
I will leave you to return to the glory I had before the world began. But you,
go.
Teach others what you have seen and heard.
Who will believe us? We're just ordinary men, fishermen from Galilee.
Go back to Jerusalem and wait. In a few days, all of you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He will give you the words to speak, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Men of Galilee, why are you still staring into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
The Pentecost festival is filling the streets. I can see Africans, Greeks, Arabs, people from all over the world.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses.
Thank you.
Jesus of Nazareth was proved to be from God by the miracles, wonders, and signs he did among you. And you, with the help of wicked men, killed him by nailing him to the cross. But God raised this Jesus to life. We are witnesses of that fact. And now he is exalted to the highest honor at the right hand of God. Now repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins.
God's acceptance isn't about you or about what you must do. It is always about what I have done for you. You trust in God, trust also in me.
Don't be afraid. You're not alone in the struggle. I will be by your side. Nothing can separate you from my love. I will prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And when it is the right time, I will come back in all my glory and take you to be with me.
I have good news for you. Leave behind all this. I am the way and the truth and the life. Come, follow me.
For our discussion of the Bible video that we just saw, I guess I'd like to emphasize the content and how it affected you more than maybe criticizing or being the film critic and the way that it was produced. So let's take a look at what the sheet offers to us, and then we'll study how this affected you. Hopefully you were thinking about your relationship with your God and comparing it to the way that Peter related himself to Jesus as Savior. So we'll start right at the beginning. Come Follow Me is a movie that depicts what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Based on the Bible, the movie recounts the experience of Peter, one of Jesus' most prominent disciples. Now, along with Peter, who's the other disciple that we hear a lot from? John, right? And if you look at John chapter 15 through 21, you'll see many of the direct quotes from John in the video. And I would encourage you to do that. Get the video, watch it again, get your Bible out, see how it matches. Many of the quotes also come from the other Gospels, but you can see that John is the one that's comforting Peter, along with Jesus comforting him as well. So it's John chapter 15 to 21. We'll take time to do that later. But the way of discipleship is difficult, as the life of Peter proved. He had doubts and fears and even denied knowing Jesus, an action that shamed him and burdened his conscience with guilt. Now, maybe that's not the same sin that burdens your conscience with guilt. But it doesn't matter what the sin is. The devil's going to give us all kinds of guilt about how could you have done that? Jesus doesn't love you anymore. He cannot possibly forgive that sin. That was basically what he's trying to tell Peter. I'd like to look now at Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. Here's another guy that felt the same way as Peter. That was Paul. Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. I'm going to read that, and you can catch up with me when we get to that point. Romans 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, Paul is saying, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what is I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you see the turmoil that's going on in Paul's mind? We think of him as an example, of course, and yet he felt the same way that Peter did. Hopefully that came across in the video, and it kind of leads us to our question, in what ways do you see yourself in Peter? That's the first question we'd like to talk about. The comfort for Peter was Jesus, who assured his disciple of his loving forgiveness through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And the way for Peter to be a faithful follower of Jesus was found in the power and promises of Jesus' true word. I hope you caught that too, how Jesus kept coming to him over and over with the promises of truth and forgiveness. That's the way it is for us. So, let's try to handle that first question. Would you please be willing to speak about how you see yourself in Peter? Tom.
Doubting and not having confidence that Jesus died for my sin and confidence that he is going to forgive me.
Any confidence that we have is pretty much an act, isn't it? If it's our own self. The only true hope, the true confidence we can have is in Jesus. Brett, you had a word to say?
Yeah, kind of going along with that. I give myself a lot of credit that I don't deserve, and then I fail, and then I beat myself up about it. But the only confidence we have is in Christ, not in ourselves.
Steve.
I think most of us probably feel the same way as I do. How can he love me? Because I've screwed up big time many times, and there can't be a way that he could forgive me for what I've done. And yet you see it over and over again.
How do we see ourselves in Peter? Ed, can we pass it back to Ed, please?
In the video, one of the disciples said it. He said, we're simple fishermen from Galilee. We have no power. So the power comes from the Holy Spirit, not from you.
Isn't that what we all feel like? Who am I to be speaking about this? Who am I to be teaching your Bible class today? If I think about who I really am, I'm not the one that you want to follow, but you want to follow Jesus. And he's allowed me to follow him as well. So come with me to follow Jesus. That's kind of the way we approach it, isn't it? We don't want to hold ourselves up as examples. We don't want to embarrass our Savior by our foolishness. And that's kind of the feeling that Peter had, wasn't it? I've heard people say that we all have our public lives, and we all have our private lives, and we all have our secret lives. But it's not a secret from God, is it? God knows our every thought, and he forgives every one of those, just like he did for Peter. And Peter had that struggle that Paul had. He wanted to do what was right, but it just wasn't happening. He kept fighting. What was the only thing that gave him strength? It was the promises that Jesus gave him. Let's get a few more questions, otherwise we're going to run out of time here. How did the way Jesus related with Peter and the other disciples speak to you? Now, I didn't quite understand that question very well. This is the way I understand it. As Jesus comforted Peter, could you hear comfort for yourself? Anybody care to talk about that? John?
Well, I think it especially stood out in the movie how compassionate Jesus was. And even when he's telling them that telling Peter, you're going to deny me three times and you disciples are going to run away, it wasn't like he wasn't chastising them in the way he was telling. He was, as a matter of fact, but pointing out that he still loved him. And even when the disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying, the way that it was presented, that Jesus, as a kid, when you hear that story, it's like, you know, you kind of visually or mentally think of Jesus walking up and slap, 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 you know, why can't you stay awake? But yet, in all of it, you could see that Jesus understood the faults and the weaknesses of his followers, and that came across, I think, very well in the movie. Okay.
So if there was one thing that the film did especially well, it was bring across the loving nature of Jesus. He was without sin. Everything he did was motivated by love. That has to be the most difficult part to ever play, is the part of Jesus, because we see a human being there. And that's truly the way it was. Jesus was a human being, and yet a human being without sin. Impossible task for an actor. Steve has something also.
The compassion reminds me of when Peter says, should I forgive the person seven times? Ten, you know, and he goes, no, 700 times. He kept forgiving him. He'd tell them that they'd screw up, and he still forgave them over and over and over, as he does for us.
And he asks us to do the same. There he is. George is here. He keeps reminding me of this. But we talk about the Lord's Prayer Bible study. The hardest part, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, that's the hard part to say, isn't it? I really don't want him to forgive like I've forgiven. Instead, we want his free grace. But he asks us to forgive others as well. That's why this Come Follow Me is so important. Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, we know God's word and we're telling others, and people will come and tell what they've done and things like that. And I say with joy in our hearts, we can tell them the love that Jesus and forgiveness that Jesus has for them. But then when it comes back to the things we've done ourselves, it's harder for us to accept that Jesus forgives us too.
And who is it that's holding us accountable for our actions and saying, you don't really want to be the one telling other people how they should act? That's the devil coming through with his accusation against you. He's the one that's saying, God can't forgive you, and because you did that, you certainly aren't one that can talk to anybody else about salvation. Recognize it as it is. Those are attacks from the devil. They are not from your Lord. Your Lord will say over and over again, I forgive you. What is the help that Jesus provides his followers? That's our next question.
Well, the way things are going, to be able to be a witness, to talk to other people about Jesus, is becoming more difficult and more difficult, especially after this judgment that came down Thursday, I think it was, or Friday. Things are going to get a lot more tougher from that. And the struggles are talking to your relatives or your friends or being in classes or something. I let things go. When they say stuff, I just sort of let them go. And I feel like a chicken, like I should be.
If we watch the news too much, it's going to weigh us down. I feel that in your voice, Dave, that if anybody's been listening to the news the last few days, it's got to be, it's like we're under attack, and we are. However, think of the times when the church grew the most rapidly. Under times of persecution, that's when the church grows. Not during the times of wealth and plenty, but when there's some threat to the church, that's when people say, wait a second, we could lose this. That's what we need to say. We need to get out there and say, look, there is a way that sin can be forgiven. We can't say God doesn't care. We need to say God does care. He does care that you sin. And that's why he sent his son to pay for your sins. That's the whole message of the video that we saw. The hope that Jesus promises for the future is twofold. It's a life in heaven. He's prepared a place for us in heaven. But it also is the assurance that he's going to be with us always. Remember the Bible passage that we just read? That we kind of forget about this when we're challenged to be the ones that need to follow Jesus and tell others. He says he's going to be with us always to the very end of the age. He's with us right now. Are we really afraid of the world and the rulings of the Supreme Court? We don't need to be afraid of them. We don't need to be afraid of anyone because we have God on our side. He promises to give us strength. I'd like you to look at another Bible passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And then we can also go from there to chapter 4. But let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Did you beat me, Mary? She did. Okay, I was using my phone. She's using your Bible. Okay, here's the problem that Peter faced, right? Same thing as Paul. I want to do what's good. I can't do it. But there's a little clue in there that Peter did have faith. You want to see what the clue is? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? So it's okay to be afraid, right? We don't want to lose this. That's something we're going to be afraid of. We're going to tremble as we do it, but we're not trembling because of we're lacking the trust in God. We're worried about ourselves. But here's the clue that you do have faith. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will. What's the will? That's what you want to do. Going back to Paul, I want to do what's good. God will work in you to want to do what's good. And he will also work in you to act, to fulfill his good purpose. What's his good purpose? God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God is going to work through you so that you want to do it, so that you want to follow, and God's going to work through you so that you actually do help lead other people to Jesus. And how can you do it? Very easily. Let's skip over to chapter 4 real quick. I hope I can find it now. See, I could just turn pages instead of flipping around in here. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And then number 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Okay, and then, does anybody find the verse that says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength? Those are all very good verses. I'm passing over. What verse is that in? 13. I was almost there. Thank you. I should know that. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And that's Jesus, of course. That's where I wanted to end today, and I didn't write that verse down. Thank you, Mary, for helping me find that. The greatest blessings we have from Jesus, our Savior, come in the next life, but he also promises to be with us in this life. We didn't talk specifically about how to use this, but be creative. If you would look on this video, on the back, there's a website. It says comefollowme.com, and it gives suggestions for ways to study this and for sharing it with others. So I hope that we do that as individuals, as a congregation. Let's make this a mission congregation right here. Not just that we start a mission elsewhere, that would be great, but let's make this a mission congregation where we lead others to follow Jesus. Have a great day. Go with God's blessings. Put the Bibles away. Oh. Also, if you didn't sign the clipboard for attending this class, please do that.